It's like an iceberg. Hidden below many a person's calm surface is a huge mass of rage which can burst forth at any time. No one can win in the race of life when he or she is tripped up by fits of inappropriate anger. Today, we uncover the unpleasant truth that the roots of rage lie within each of our hearts. What to do about it? To find out, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series explains why good people do bad things. Dr. Lutzer turns now to the Bible to point us to the roots of rage.
Now the question is, what are the roots of rage? What makes people out of control? Why is it that you have people who are so nice, who adore their wives one moment and then lash out in anger in the next, in an unpredictable way? And unpredictability is very important to the abuser, because he destabilizes his wife and keeps her off balance emotionally and spiritually and physically, maybe as well. And when we look at the roots of rage, even those of us who aren't abusers, we need to look at our own hearts, because at the end of the day, we're going to find something in God's Word that is very applicable to us all. It's a promise. Let's begin the journey. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, where things got started. We've been in Genesis before in this series, because if you understand the first few chapters of Genesis, you will discover that you understand the roots of a lot of problems. Chapter 4 of Genesis, and I'm going to pick up the text just, what shall we say, about in the middle of verse 2, I think it is. Genesis 4, verse 2. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. The Hebrew word for anger basically is also related to the nostrils. It has to do with flaring, snorting anger. He is really, really upset. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you, but you must master it." And then Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Pit bull rage. I'm going to show you. What's going on? What is the root of rage? It is really rejection. A sense of being rejected, a sense of that you don't belong, and that it's not merely that you have done wrong, but somehow fundamentally you are wrong. You are of very little value. So you can understand that since that lies at the heart of it, we have such things as being belittled or diminished. It makes you so angry. A couple of days ago, I was on the Kennedy Expressway driving along in the reversible lanes, as they call them. And when you get near the junction there, some of you know the place where everybody who wants to go in one direction has to be in the right lane if you want to go on the Kennedy. And then if you stay on the left, it ends up being on the Edens. Well, lots of cars are on the right side, but some of those other folks, they are smart, you know. They aren't going to get at the back of the line. They're going to drive right up front and then try to get in ahead of you. And this car did that. Hello? Oh, I had all I could do to keep from just stepping on the gas and just ramming it. I didn't. Why? What's the big deal? Do you know that his coming in ahead of me, what are we talking about in terms of getting to where I was going? 30 seconds maybe to have one more car having to be processed on the expressway? No big deal. Where is it? I'll tell you where it is. I'm diminished. What he's saying is I'm more important than you. As a matter of fact, I'm not beginning at the back of the line. I can go right up here and I can go ahead of everybody because I'm so-and-so and I'm important and you're just trash and I'm here. Well, I don't know whether he was thinking that. All that I know is I've done the same thing many times. Isn't that amazing? It's called road rage. Who are you to get ahead of me? Now, let's translate that into being a child, and you're constantly belittled, and you're diminished, and you're marginalized, and you're sidelined, and anger begins to well up in your soul. There's rejection, there's belittling, powerlessness, the feeling that you can't change anything. Here's a child who's abused at home. He comes home, and he knows that there's no way to predict whether he's going to be spanked, because the simple fact is it doesn't matter. Some days he won't be, some days he will be. If he's good, he's whipped, and if he's not good, he's whipped. So the sense of powerlessness, this injustice, breeds deep resentment and anger. And then, of course, you have shame. Those have been abused sexually or otherwise. And last time, and that's why it's so important to take the message that we preached last time and shove it in right here, if you come from a shame-based home, you'll have a lot of resentment and anger. A lot of anger is nothing more than, it's nothing more than a mask for the hidden shame that has not been dealt with. Well, in a moment, we're going to be talking about how to take care of it. You know, I think of myself, I was brought up in a very fine home with all the affirmation and the sense of respect and love. And yet, when I was growing up, I had a real terrible temper. And I often thought to myself, you know, if I had been brought up in a home where you have all of that cauldron that we sometimes refer to as dysfunctional homes, who knows the things that you and I or others may be capable of doing. Well, before we get to the cure, very quickly, what are some of the consequences of unresolved anger? Let's suppose you just let it be there. Let me give you some. First of all, you might blow up to your detriment. You might just blow up and do drastic things. It happens all the time. The pit bull who says, I'm not going to take it anymore, and you blow up. You let it all hang out. You know, years ago, therapists, in desperation, the secular therapists, not understanding the human heart from the standpoint of Scripture, trying to find an answer to anger, used to say this, well, what you need to do is you need to just have an outlet for it. Take this pillow, pretend this pillow is your mother-in-law, and then do to it whatever you want, mangle it, hit it with a baseball bat, and you'll get all that anger out of you. Utter nonsense. It will only inflame the anger. It will only bring the anger to the surface. It will not deal with the root. In fact, most people now agree that that is the case, and they could have saved themselves an awful lot of grief if they'd have understood right from the beginning that that's not the way to deal with it. So you can blow up. If you're a man, that's likely to happen. If you're a woman, more likely that you clam up. And you become what is known as passive-aggressive. Passive-aggressive, and of course men can be this too, but passive-aggressive is kind of where you procrastinate, where you are stubborn, where you are obstinate, and all the while being actually quite nice, because especially if you're a Christian woman. Example, you're angry at your husband on Saturday. You wake up Sunday morning, you're still angry at him. So what you decide to do is to take your time getting ready for church and just let the goon wait out in the car, okay? Now, especially if you know that he is compulsive about being on time, just take your time, be late, and you get in the car and you've even got a Christian smile on. He is seething. Let's use the Old Testament Hebrew word. He is snorting with anger. And you gently remind him that anger is sin and that he should not be acting this way, especially since we're on our way to church where we're going to worship God. Your heart of hearts, you know right well what you did. Most women who live with men know all the buttons they can push. They know every one that can really get his goat. Someone said one time, how do you get a policeman's goat? You steal his billy, I guess. So this is what happens. This is what happens in those marriage relationships. You can blow up, you can clam up. You'll have difficulty in relationships. This is so important that, as you know, another message on this series is devoted simply to your father and your relationship with him, because that impacts who we are and how we respond to various situations. And later on also we're going to be discussing what it really means for a person to turn evil. What about these controlling people that cross the line? But there'll be difficulty in relationships if you don't deal with anger, because you're going to have lack of trust. Those of you women who have been abused by men, you are going to, in general, have an attitude about all men that is going to be negative. Any relationship that develops is always going to be disruptive. You'll always keep putting the bar higher, no matter what the man wants to do to show that he loves you. It'll never be enough, because the rules of the game will change, and on it goes. You see, regarding people who have been abused, they have been sinned against. And then they also, in response, sin. They are both victims of sin and then become agents of sin. Well, we don't want to have that happen, do we? And that's why we're talking now about the cure. Yes, my friend, and I want you to know that there is a cure for anger, and we're going to be talking about that in the message next time. This is Pastor Lutzer. Today I want to spend just a moment taking your time to analyze a simple question. Are you an angry person? Believe it or not, most people who are angry people probably will answer that question by saying no. It's been my experience that anger oftentimes lies buried very deeply in the human heart. And people justify it in different ways. For example, some people say, well, I'm just a perfectionist and everything that is done should be done right. And we'd all agree it is important that everything that is done should be done according to certain standards. But oftentimes, that masks a lot of hidden anger. I know a man who over-disciplines his children. He just thinks that he's doing it righteously. In fact, he even quotes verses of Scripture. But it's very evident that down deep, he is an angry man, and his strictness is simply the outworking of his anger. So there are different ways that we can try to justify anger in our lives. It is very difficult for some people to identify that they have a problem. Would you take time today and ask God this simple question, God, am I angry? That's a good place to start in this series of messages, The Roots of Rage.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part two of The Roots of Rage, another message in a 9-part series on why good people do bad things. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. You're hearing Why Good People Do Bad Things. This series is now a book, which we'd like to send as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.